One was a short 14-minute film. It seemed to have a kind of a simple story to relate. A man from Tofino on the West Coast gathering debris from the beach. It was stuff that washed up on the floor, wood beams and plastic objects, styrofoam, painted and weathered signs. He was an artist, in a down-to-earth kind of way. He was a man who was connected to his environment. He was at home and casual. He seemed to belong to the backdrop of water and trees and sky. As the short film rolled, this artist, this man reflected on the weathered beauty of the objects that he found on the beach. The paint worn off, the patina that couldn't be created any other way, he said. He marveled at the workmanship of this and that. He had a box of round plastic objects that he might use sometime in his art, anything round that he found on the beach. He chuckled at the humor of parts of signs, one piece of wood with "Beware of" written on it in large letters. The film was so simple, it seemed, really. As it unfolded, though, we heard more and more of what it was that he had been gathering in recent years. The beams, they weren't just pieces of wood from the ocean, but they were huge timbers, intricately crafted to become supporting beams for houses in Japan. There was a massive, thick, solid piece of wood, thick, inches thick, that would have been a family's ceremonial table, where the family members would kneel as they served tea to their guests. Some of what he found were objects that would have been passed down from parent to child for generations. Trays, perhaps, or floats, stuff used by the families that had fished the oceans forever, really, tools of their livelihood. And he was finding it after it had all been swept away very close to this time of year, as it turns out, March 11th, 2011, when you might remember a tsunami struck the east coast of Japan and washed away the homes of countless thousands. Maybe if you think about it, you can remember some of those pictures. That water that resulted in the deaths of almost 16,000 people. It's interesting because the movie itself that we watched wasn't really about that tsunami so much as it followed this soft-spoken artist as he wandered through those objects that he had collected, reflecting on that event, the way that those people lost their lives when they would have been doing their work, raising their children, feeling at home in their place and safe in their surroundings. He looked at his own surroundings, at beautiful Tofino, the towering forests where he feels so safe and so at home. We watched him in his own simple home with his wife and his own kids, and we heard them all really talk about the unknowns of life, the unknown of how it will unfold. As that artist spoke about the stuff that he was finding, these remnants, really, of people's lives, he wondered how it would be if something like that had happened to him, to the people that he loved, as it might, how it was that they or any of us would want others to treat those remnants of our lives. Some of the stuff that had washed up had been returned, he said, a really tiny part, really. But for the rest, he wondered aloud, how would they like it to be treated? It seemed like a sacred question to him. He said he thinks about it all the time, and I can imagine that he would as he walked the beach daily, gathering those fragments of lives, ordinary objects, made sacred partly by the lives of those who had used them, but also by his own care and attention. Depending which part of Scripture we read as we walk through Lent and approach Holy Week, we think of Jesus, of course, taking up his cross. Sometimes it's described as a personal decision to act in that way. And today's gospel, though, it seems to me, describes Jesus' death, and in the end, our own, as something that somehow is kind of part of something bigger and also something a little more simple, a a grain of wheat that dies and grows. Loving our life, hanging on to it, all the particulars that each of us treasure, doesn't change the fact that one day we will lose it. But as something I read this last week put it, when Jesus says, "Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life," he is encouraging all of us to follow his lead in rejecting this world's definition of life as a small and isolated event. My life, your life. Jesus will not grasp, and as his followers, we also are invited not to grasp and hold the seed of life, our life, and thereby miss the richness and connection that God has made, the connection that God has made between us all, that abundant and eternal life of God, woven into the lives of everyone on this planet, every tree, every wave, every tool, if you want, that we use for our work. Over the course of this short movie that we watched yesterday, we watched this man create a memorial honoring those affected by the tsunami. He used some of the debris that he found to create the image of a tsunami of his own, a big thing, probably as big as half the size of our church, deep in the forest around Tofino, a big blue wave with beams stuck in it and fishing tools and buoys or floats appearing there as if they had once been washed away. He made a sign to recall the event. "Swept away," it just said simply. And then, in a way, he also let that memorial go into the life of the forest, to live there in remembrance and no doubt be worn and washed in its own time. It's as if the people's lives which washed away to another part of the world entirely were given life in that place. The remnants of their lives, the holiness of their lives was given new life as this fellow human being honored them all the way across the world and recognized his own fragility at the same time. Their lives had been lost, and in a small way, they had been refound. And I think in a way, his life was refound as well. In the process of his reflection and work, he gave up a part of his own life to honor them. Though he lived just a simple life, he rejected a small and isolated existence. He didn't cling to his own treasures, but in a sense, he cast himself into the sea of God's life, which is shared by all of us, and took those around him with him. Which in a sense is what we are reminded that Jesus did for us and for all people. He cast himself into the life that God had given, into God's life. Just as our lives sometimes threaten to be washed away by all the things that can happen in our world, by big tragedy, by personal tragedy, by our own ordinary brokenness, or even the superficiality of just running errands or whatever, just when our lives are threatening to be washed away, Jesus takes the fragility and the holiness of our lives, the grains of wheat that we are, that they are as God's children, and honors us and all creation by giving himself, by considering what he could do to rebuild our lives and our world. For us as God's own people, I think that is our invitation as well, in whatever shape it takes, to lay our lives down like a grain of wheat so that something grows from them, to give up whatever smallness we have in our life, maybe our particular pet peeves or the annoyances that we cling to, and walk the paths of our lives, like that artist walked on the beach, or more like Jesus walked through his days, attending to those around him, so that we too can find the sacred there and move into the unending life of God, where we give up ourselves for others, where we give our love for others, and where we also find that God gives up God's own self for us. In that experience, in those words of Jesus, we learn again the promise given by our faith, that when something happens that is completely devastating and beyond our control, something that washes everything out from under us, then it will be God's own being, which is the shore where we will finally land. Jesus will be the marker that will find us and take us and show us God's shore. Amen.